Hey, we just finished a series called You Guys Smiling? And we're smiling the whole world. Whatever, I don't even know the song. We just finished a sermon series called Get Ready. You got to be ready for everything in this church. You might get asked to move seats. Whoa! I believe God wants you to get ready for what it is that He wants to do in your life in 2019. We've been talking about this over the last 3 weeks. Get ready. God wants to do something. I believe that this year can be your best year yet. If anyone believes it, say amen with me. It can be your best year. Yeah, I believe that this can be the year that God answers long prayed prayers. Has anyone been praying for something for a long time? This could be the year that God answers those prayers. If you believe it, come on, say amen. This could be the year that you experience breakthrough and God's provision and providence like you've never, ever, ever, ever experienced it in your life. This could be the year, so get ready. Get ready, get ready. But today I want to shift gear a little bit, shift focus just a little bit, and just have a look, move away from talking about ourselves and what God wants us to get ready for in our own lives. And I want us to look at what God wants us to get ready for in our church, because I believe that this year God wants us to get ready for Him to do amazing things in and through Elevation Church. Did you know we're part of 9 locations meeting at this time? The Australia needs life-giving churches in the communities, bringing a life-giving gospel. So I believe God is getting ready to do something amazing in all of our 9 locations, and also for us here in Elevation Church, Melbourne West. And give me an amen this morning if you believe that. Come on, give God some praise. And so today's message is the kind of message I usually give at our all-in night. And so if you've been to one of our all-in nights, you may know the kind of messages that I usually give here, give on those nights. And can I encourage you, as Isaiah said, come along on Wednesday night at 7:30. It's going to be an amazing time. But, you know, on those nights, we hear from Pastor Ross, and he always brings a great word. And then I speak and I bring a word, and then you probably go away and you're like, who said what? I can't remember. He said this, she said that. I don't know what was said. So I'm going to allow Pastor Ross to share vision from his heart and to preach to us, and then I'm going to just share some vocal vision for our church, but it won't be a preaching message. So today I'm going to bring like an all-in message for us, and I've really felt like God was encouraging me in that. And so today is a little bit of a different style of message. Today is a message that's really my heart speaking to us as all-in people, as people who are committed, as people who are devoted to seeing God do something in our church. God doing something in Melbourne West. I don't know about you, but I'm not here just to see the same that I've seen in the years in the past. I want to see something new. I want to see something fresh, a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. I want to see people rise up, step into God's calling and anointing for their lives, and not just me, but for you and for your loved ones too. So if you have your Bible this morning, get it out to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 and 7, and let's read this morning. It says this: one day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, "As you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet." "All right," Elisha said to them, "go ahead." "Please come with us," someone suggested. "Okay, I will," he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. "Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." "Where did it fall?" the man of God, Elisha, asked. When he showed him the place, he cut a stick and threw it at the water at the spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. "Grab it," Elisha said, and the man reached out and grabbed it. You know, here we see a story of an amazing miracle. The axe head made out of steel or some sort of material has gone into the river, fell, you know, does what heavy things do in water, fall into the bottom. Elisha throws a stick, it rises and comes out of the water. Just an amazing miracle. An amazing miracle. When was the last time you threw a stick at a river and all these metal things started floating to the top? Well, you guys haven't done that lately. An amazing miracle. And a lot of sermons, when they read this passage, they focus on the axe head and they talk about what that means and the significance of it. But today, I want to go a different direction with this message. I just want to check, is that okay with you? Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, is that okay with you? Turn to the other person and say, that's okay with me. See, to me, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I want to focus on the first half of this story. When we look at this passage of Scripture, to me, it's like a picture of where we as a church currently are at. Where we as a church are currently at. And it's a picture of the kind of people that God is calling us to be. The kind of believers, the kind of Christ followers, the kind of faith that God wants us as a church to have. See, I love the example we see from the group of prophets in this passage. These are get things done, GTD, get things done, whatever it is. Get things done kind of people. And I was praying about this, and you know, I really believe that God is saying we need to be get things done type of people. In this church, we need get things done type of people. It doesn't just rest on the shoulders of a few superstars. There's no superstars in this church, let me tell you that. It rests on the shoulders of many, many, many people who are just getting in and getting things done. A couple of people at the back, very prideful, think that they're superstars. We pray for them. But you know, there's no superstars. It rests on the shoulders of many. Here's some thoughts I had in this passage. I'm not going to share for too long today, guys. Just 55 minutes. Number one, write this down. They saw what Elisha saw. Man, I love this. They saw what Elisha saw. One day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Elisha, he's running a school. He's running a church, if you like. He's running a ministry college where people are coming to join with him to learn about the things of God. They're learning about how to receive the anointing. They're learning about how to pour out the anointing, how to receive words of knowledge, how to prophesy. So they've come together at this church, if you like, and there's many people joining. They've heard about Elisha's ministry. They've heard about how Elijah, the prophet who preceded him, did miracles. But Elisha is doing miracles even greater. They heard about how Elisha is doing all kinds of things. He's raising people from the dead. He's pouring out oil that never stops. All these things. I think that was Elisha. They hear about Elisha doing these things and they say, we want to join with you. And over time, we don't know how long it is, but more and more men join with him. I believe the prophets would have been men, not women. It is what it is. I don't even know why I said that. Anyway, more and more people are joining with Elisha, and their numbers are growing in numbers such that they're running out of room. They're running out of room in the building, the place where they're meeting. And one day they come to him and say, hey, Elisha, it's time for us to move to something bigger. It's time for us to move on. And here's what I love. They're not telling Elisha anything he doesn't already know, but they are seeing what Elisha is seeing. Elisha knew this, but then they started to see it too. They started to realize it as well. See, they had vision, and we need vision as a church too. Do you know what I see when I look around here this morning? Handsome men, beautiful women, all these things. But you know what I see? I see a church that is ready for expansion. I see a people that are hungry for more of God. I see people that are ready for us to grow. I see a church that is hungry for more. Let me tell you, more healings, more salvations, more baptisms, more finances, more growth, more influence, more impact in our community. And so today, I just want to declare prophetically that this year for our church can be and will be the year of expansion. We're not staying where we are. You're happy to stay where we are? We're not staying where we are. We're going forth, we're going forward, we're taking this church where God wants to take us. And that's what I see. And I pray that in your lives that you are just like the prophets and that you too can see what I see. Do you see what I see? That you will see what I see. I pray that I'm not the only one praying prayers like this during the week. I pray that there's some men and women in this place that are hearing from God and they're coming alongside and they're also praying and believing for these prayers. They're also talking in faith. I pray that I'm not the only one that sees what we could be, a strong, powerful, influential church in Melbourne's western suburbs, not to bring glory to a man's name or a church's name, but to point people to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one who is the answer to all their questions. I pray I'm not the only one declaring these with my words and in my spirit. I pray that there are other people coming alongside and saying, hey, Bronson, we need to go because where we are, we need to go somewhere better, somewhere bigger, somewhere newer today. See, I hope you see this. I hope you see what I see and that you can come on board to help build this church. If anyone sees that this morning, give me an amen. 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 Number two, they harness the power together. They harness the power together. It says this in verses 2-4. Let's go down to the Jordan River. There's plenty of logs. We can build a new place. Alrighty, told them, go ahead. Please come with us, someone said. Blah, blah, blah. Then they arrived at the Jordan and they began cutting down trees. They, plural, multiple. Let's go and cut down some trees, they said. Those are words every leader loves to hear. Let's go and do something. Let's go and get involved in our community. Let's go and meet the needs of some person. Let's go and get involved with Red Frogs. Let's go and believe that our neighbor, maybe they need some food. Let's go. Let's go and cut down some trees. Let's go and do something. We need more. Let's go cut down some trees in this church. Come on. We need some more. Let's go cut down some trees in this church. You don't have to wait for me to say we're going to do something. You can come to me and say, hey, Bronson, how can we do this? How about doing this? And you never know, that might be from God. Can I tell you, I'm not the only one that hears from God in this church. You do too. You do too. God's speaking into your heart. He might be saying to you, I want you to go down to that place there and cut down some trees. Do something for me. Do something new. You never know, it might be from God. And what I love is that it wasn't just Elisha who saw that they needed a new building and then who went out by himself and cut down trees by himself. I love that he saw the need, but others saw the need. And I love that he went down and others went down with him to cut down trees for the new building. And let me tell you, there would have been young prophets there, able, fit to do the work. There would have been older prophets there, supervise, tell the young ones where to go. There would have been guys there who were married and had children and had reasons not to be there. There would have been single people who had no excuse not to be there. But there would have been single, married, single people, regardless of what it was, together, they all went down and started cutting some trees. Together. They did it together. There's power in togetherness. See, when we are together, we can accomplish more than when we are apart. When we are together, we can accomplish more than we are when we are apart. See, togetherness brings ideas and creativity. You may not be creative, but if you're together with a bunch of people, there will be some creative person there. There will be some person there who has new ideas that you don't have, or you have new ideas that they don't have. It brings different points of view, people with different skill sets. People will say, hey, but what about this? Have you thought about that? Well, I never thought about that. Have you looked at it from this point of view? You're looking at it from your eyes, but what about from this? Well, that's very interesting. If we look at it from that point of view, what does it mean? You know, different points of view, different skill sets. Togetherness creates camaraderie and it creates belonging. Did you know that the biggest issue that people have today is loneliness? They are searching for belonging. They are searching for family, and they can find family. They can find togetherness. They can find belonging in the church together. together as we walk through life, together as we serve Jesus. There is no feeling like sharing an experience with others. There's so much truth in the saying, we're better together. Have you heard that saying? We're better together. It's so true. Leviticus 26:8. You know, we don't quote too many scripture verses from Leviticus, but this is a great one. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Together, when you slip, I'll lift you up. Together, when I slip, you'll lift me up. Together, when I feel down, you'll encourage me. Together, when you need a word of encouragement, when you need someone to speak into your life, I can speak words that will lift you up, that will bring life into your situation. See, when we're together, we can put hundreds, we can put thousands to flight together. When we dream together, we can see further. Man, I'm dreaming about this. Is that all? Man, I'm dreaming about this. We're dreaming. Come on, we can dream better. We can dream further. We can see further. When we build together, we can accomplish more. There is power in togetherness. Power in togetherness. The third thing, share this morning, they carried the load. They carried the load. The prophets didn't just see what Elisha saw, they also helped to address what Elisha saw. It's not just seeing what needs to be done, it's putting our hand up to say, I want to be part of what needs to be done. See, everyone carried the load of building the new meeting place. Everyone got an axe. Some people owned axes. There was one gentleman who didn't, so he went and borrowed an axe. Don't make that an excuse as to why you can't do. Do something to make it happen. They went and cut down trees together. They carried those trees to where the building was being built. They laid foundations. They raised walls. They hung windows. They hung curtains. They put down floor coverings. They created rooms. They got involved. They all carried load. And I wonder today, what load are you carrying in Elevation Church, Melbourne West? What load are you carrying? How are you helping? We need men and women who are willing to carry load in this church. To carry responsibility. To carry responsibility. To carry, to put their hands up, to do things, to be used, to carry load. And you know, I'm just so proud of our church and the way that there are people willing to put their hands up to carry load. Sundays, everyone that volunteers and serves, can I just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you so much for carrying that load and doing what it is that you do. You are making a difference. You may not know it, you may not think it, you are making an eternal difference. Every person who is saved in this place, you are part of that salvation that happens. You are making a difference. Come on, yeah, that's great. Give yourselves a clap. So proud of the people who are coming out during the week to be involved with different things, who came out for our Christmas production and helped us set up what felt like 100 Christmas trees and hang all these decorations and set things up. I'm so proud of you guys for doing that. And so proud of other people who came out this week who helped us pack up what felt like 200 Christmas trees this week. That was so great. I just love it. People who came out to pack up, to pack hampers, 35 hampers that we gave away to people in need. Just so glad that there are people who are willing to carry load. I'm so glad that we have people in this church who know that building God's church isn't just the load that the pastor carries, it's a load and responsibility we all carry. Never ever come to church and think that this all just happens. It doesn't just happen, and it's not just the responsibility to carry tasks. It's the responsibility to carry spiritual weight, to believe, to declare in the spirit realm that God is doing something in the lives of people in this church, that God is bringing people to this church who need God's power in their life. It's a spiritual responsibility we can carry too, and there are men and women here in this place, and you can carry that load. You have been a Christian long enough. You know the Bible enough. You know the promises of God. You can rise up to say, I will be responsible for the growth of this church. I will pray to God. I will share my faith. I will lead my family. I will be an example to the young people. I will be involved with bringing glory to God's name, because I will carry load in this church. How do we carry load? We pray for our church. We do things. We invite people. Be praying for our church. Be believing for God to transform people's lives. The church is the vehicle that God has chosen to bring the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. But the church is made up of people. People, be praying that God would build, and be praying for believing a transformation of people's lives in our church. Do things. Put your hand up to serve on a Sunday or during a week. Find excuses to serve instead of excuses not to serve. So easy to find excuses as to why we can't do things. Can I let you in on a secret? I can find excuses too. Sometimes I find excuses. But no, we don't want to be excuse-giving people to not do. We want to give excuses why we can do. Sorry, I can't make it on Wednesday. I got an all-in night I'm going to. Sorry, I can't come Sunday mornings. Can we do it Sunday afternoon? Because I go to church on a Sunday. Sorry, I can't come Tuesday night because I've invited someone to my house for dinner and they need to have dinner with me because they're going through something. Find excuses as to why you can serve God instead of not serving God. And then Invite people. Can I say, the biggest load we carry and the greatest responsibility we have is telling people who don't know Jesus about Jesus. I'll tell you something, it's even more important than what we're doing here this morning. It's even more important than what we're doing here this morning. Telling people about Jesus Christ. About Jesus. I was so encouraged when we had our Christmas production, how many of you invited along people to church for the first time, and many of them were unsaved people. That is so great. That's why we do events, for you to invite your unsaved friends. But let's not just stop at the event Sundays. Let's also be inviting them into our lives, into our life groups, into our social settings, inviting them to church, because they need to know Jesus Christ. They need to know Him and the power of His resurrection. They need to know Jesus and the power of His forgiveness and the power of the healing He wants to bring to their life. They need to know Jesus and how He has set them free and how He has given them eternal life and how He loves them. They need to know this Jesus. They don't know it, but they need to know it. They need to know Jesus Christ. And so the challenge is, for my life, who can I invite to know Jesus? Who can you invite to know Jesus? No, it's not just me telling you, you must do this. I got to look in the mirror too. Who am I inviting to bring to church? And I want to speak more into this over the coming weeks and the coming months, as I just feel like God has been speaking to me about that. If the kids could come, that'd be great. Thank you so much. In my second year of university, I got a job at McDonald's, and my role was maintenance man. And the maintenance man had various responsibilities. He was to do maintenance around the McDonald's restaurant. Well, I was a part-timer. I only worked on the weekends, and I could have done that maintenance. Don't worry about that. I could have done the maintenance during the week, but I was on the weekends, so another guy did the maintenance work during the week. And another part of our role as maintenance men was cleaning. So we would clean the store. So when the store closed at 1 a.m. in the morning, we would come along and work until from 1 to 8, cleaning that store, doing everything that needed to be cleaned. Anyway, there was a saying that they had at McDonald's, and I don't know if they still teach it, but the saying was, time to lean, time to clean. Time to lean, time to clean. Maybe some young people don't know what that means, so I'm going to spell it out for you this morning. Time to lean, time to clean. What they were saying was this: you've got a role to do, and maybe it's serving people at the counter, or maybe it's making burgers, or whatever it might be. That's your job. But if you've got time to lean in that job, time to hang about, time to chat to your coworker, time to relax, time to lean back, if you've got time to lean, then you've got time to carry more load. then you've got time to clean. It means that instead of just hanging around at that front counter when there's no one there, you've got time to go out into the restaurant and clean, pick up rubbish, do something. You've got time to carry some load. Time to lean, time to clean. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how tired we are. If we're still breathing, let me tell you, old people, if you're still breathing, and maybe breathing is a struggle for you, but you're still breathing. Can I tell you, God still has a calling for your life. God still has an opportunity for you to carry load, for you to do something for God's kingdom. And for young people, if you've got time to lean on the fence, time to chat, there's still load you can carry. Look around. Look around. Time to lean, time to clean. Everyone's going to be cleaning up afterwards. It's not exactly what I mean, but anyway. See, it doesn't matter. We have still got breath in our lungs and we have still got load that we can carry for God's church and for Elevation Church. And I want to ask you today, can you help to carry load at Elevation Church? Can you help? Can you say, hey, I want to carry some extra load at Elevation Church? Maybe you're doing things. Maybe you're involved, but can you say, I want to do more. I want to help more. See, the prophets, they saw what Elisha saw. They harnessed the power of togetherness. They carried the load. Do you know what I love about these 3 points? These 3 points, seeing, togetherness, and carrying load. Do you know what I love about these 3 points? You don't have to be a spiritual giant to get on board and do them. You don't have to know all of the Bible. You don't have to fast and pray 5 weeks a month. You don't have to be, because that's how spiritual you are. You can do 5 weeks every month. You don't have to be a spiritual giant like that. You just need the right attitude. The right attitude. You just need the attitude that says, I'm going to look and I'm going to see what needs to happen. I'm going to get on board with togetherness. You need the attitude that says, I'm going to help with what needs to be done. You don't need to be a super spiritual, tongue praying. That's fine. Yahoo, hallelujah, Christian, to do these things. You just need the right attitude that says, God has called me for such a time as this. I could have been born at any time in history. I could have been in any place, any city at this moment in time. But instead, God has you here in Melbourne, in this church, at this very moment, hearing this sermon of encouragement for you to have the right attitude that says, yes, I want to help grow God's church. But there's something else I love about these three points as well. You got to have all three of them if we're going to see all that God is going to do in our church. You can have vision to see. Man, that needs to be done. That should be getting done. Man, look at that. It'd be good if we did that. Hey, we should go from here to there. But you got to also do something. You got to put your hand up and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do. We can do, but we're not going to do it by ourselves. We're going to do it with others. You can say, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to do that. Hey, gather people around you. There's power in togetherness. We're better together. We need togetherness, but if we don't have a vision, we won't stay together. If we don't have a vision that we're all aiming for, this is the vision of where we're going. Oh, no, my vision's this. Oh, this person's vision's that. My vision's over there. You won't have togetherness without a vision. Our vision at Elevation Church is creating environments that inspire intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and influence in our world. That means everything that we do, we want to point people to Jesus. Everything that we do, we want to be together, developing relationships. Everything that we do wants to be towards building influence in our world. The influence you have enables you to speak into people's lives, but you can't have influence if you're not getting involved with people's lives. You can't speak into someone's life if they don't know your story. You can't speak into someone's life if you don't have any credibility about the life that you live. See, we need to have vision to see. We need to do. We need togetherness. One day, the group of prophets came to Elijah and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, go ahead. Please come with us. I will, he said. So he went down with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down some trees this year. Today, I want us to start cutting down some trees.